today on Real Radio.
If you read or hear someone say Jesus isn't actually coming back, there are denominations, there are churches with steeples and crosses on the top that say what I just read to you is metaphorical. It's allegorical. No, he's going to come back.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 4, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so that he could continue to bless them. And you know, Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what's going to happen in the last days when Christ returns. In continuing with Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah prophesied the Messiah would be born from the seed of David, but he would also have the Spirit of holiness. Both birthrights point to one Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. We also learned that the Messiah would have the Spirit of the Lord on him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and of might, and he will also have the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, in part 4, we'll see how the events of the second coming of Jesus will begin to unfold. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that in the second coming, Jesus will sit on the throne and gather those nations who have survived the tribulation period. The righteous nations will enter into eternal life, while the ungodly ones will go into everlasting punishment. And now, continuing his lesson called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Where are you on the rights of the unborn? The what? Oh, it's just tissue. But then if you ask them, oh, wow, that's weird. Anyway, I thought you were for justice. Doesn't that little guy in there get justice? What about killing whales? Oh, no, that's an abomination. Look, I'm not promoting killing whales. I think whales are great. I'm just saying, there'll be people who will defend nature and then sacrifice someone who's created in the image of God. Where's the justice in that? Or when somebody says there is no God, there's no God. And there's some atrocity done in someone's life. And maybe someone kidnaps your daughter and kills her. And listen, the Bible offers justice in the end over this. The atheist has nothing. The atheist cannot give me any justice. There's no closure. No, the Bible says Jesus is coming back and he's going to put his foot down. This is very, very serious stuff. Micah chapter 1, verse 3, again, all about the second coming and the establishment of the millennium, which is what Isaiah 11 is about. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. Wow. You think that's metaphorical? No, it's going to happen. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. That's fantastic, because when you read in Zechariah, when Jesus returns, the Bible says his foot is going to touch. It's a cool word, everybody. In the second coming, are you watching me? Because this is very important right here. This is my PowerPoint. In the second coming, when he comes, when he comes to execute his righteousness on the earth, the Bible tells us that his foot is going to touch the Mount of Olives. So here's the Temple Mount. Watch this. He comes from Basra. The Bible tells us his approach route. He comes from the east to the west. From Basra, he's going to come, touch the Mount of Olives. It's going to split open, the Bible says, and he's going to descend to the Temple Mount where his throne will be. Well, he'll establish his throne. Jesus is going to do that. And the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives, splits open. And the Bible tells in the book of Ezekiel that a crack is going to be so big right there that the water from the Mediterranean Sea will begin to fill the crack and flow all the way down to the Dead Sea. Read tonight Ezekiel chapter 40 onward. It's fascinating. In fact, it says in those chapters that the same fish that are found in the Mediterranean will be found in the Dead Sea when Christ returns. Are you an environmentalist? Give your heart to Christ tonight. He's the ultimate. He's going to fix it all. It's going to be awesome. At the second coming, when Christ comes, what's that going to be like? What's that going to look like? What happens? Skip forward to your Bible right now. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. And again, write in your margins, second coming events. Not rapture, but second coming events. Before we read, Jesus now has arrived. He is on the Temple Mount. He's going through what Daniel chapter 12 speaks of, the establishment of his kingdom. Daniel says that when he comes, he's going to be a mountain, as though he were a mountain coming from heaven, not cut with human hands. That when he returns, he will fill the entire earth. Isn't that beautiful? What's going to happen? A lot, but one of them is this. Verse 31, Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, and you too, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Church, mark that. If you read or hear someone say Jesus isn't actually coming back, there are denominations, there are churches with steeples and crosses on the top that say what I just read to you is metaphorical. It's allegorical. No, he's going to come back. If the Jesus that you and I worship does not establish the throne of his glory, we got the wrong one. That's how important this is. Verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him. All the nations will be gathered to Jerusalem. And he will separate them one from another, as or like a sheep or a shepherd, divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So he's dividing the nations. When he comes back, he's going to divide them. He will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, how come? Stop right there, right? Wait a minute. He comes back in the second coming. So he spares the world from being completely destroyed. During a period of time, he assembles the nations. The nations will make their way to Jerusalem. Imagine how many people that will be. I don't know. He's on his throne, and he's going to divide the peoples. He's going to judge the survivors of the tribulation period. And there's going to be a criteria by which they're judged. This is remarkable. Remember, you're not there, or you're not living on earth. You're with Christ, but we've returned with him. You're not immortal at that time on earth. You're with him. You're a co-heir with Christ, Romans 8 told us. So Jesus begins to judge the nations, the peoples that have survived the tribulation period. They survived the Antichrist. They survived the wars, the famines, and all the stuff. He begins to divide them. He begins to judge them. Book of Daniel, by the way, again, chapter 12 tells you how many days it takes them to do it. I forget the number. I think it's 75 or 45. I forget. And he's judging the peoples, Jesus is. Man. So here's the question you want to ask yourself. What's the criteria by which those people are judged? Verse 35, he says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. And I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous, the word is actually righteous doers, those who have done the right thing, will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Notice that. They're not aware of it. Are you tracking me, everybody? they're shocked. What? Translation, this is the first time we've seen you. How is this possible? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Circle the word, my brethren. Then he will also say to those who are on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer and say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty and a stranger, naked, sick, and in prison, and did not minister to you? And then he will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, that is his brethren, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment. Here it is, watch. But the righteous into eternal or age-abiding life. So what did we just read? Many times, maybe out of sloppy reading, we think there's going to come that day when Jesus is going, we'll stand before Jesus and he's going to separate us like sheep from a goat, from the goats. You ever heard that before? That is not going to happen. You have already been, listen, your sins have already been judged, Christian, at the cross. In the second coming, you're with Jesus when this is happening. He gathers the nations to himself. By the way, the Old Testament says he does this in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Do you know where that is? The Valley of Jehoshaphat is the Old Testament name for the New Testament name, the Kidron Valley. Well, where's that? You know exactly where that is. Pretend with me now. You're CNN and you have a camera and you're taking a picture of the Temple Mount. Are you with me? The Dome of the Rock, the Muslim mosque that was built, is to the left. The Temple Mount is that vacant land to the right. You got that picture in your head? You see it all the time in the news, right? The valley between where the camera is and where the Temple Mount is, that valley is the Kidron Valley. They will gather together. From that point, he's going to look down to that valley and he's going to be dividing the nations. What's the criteria for them being destroyed at the judgment or living into the kingdom age in the millennium, repopulating the millennium? We'll read in Isaiah. Am I confusing you guys? We'll read the book of Isaiah later on, where months later, where when a man dies at the age of 100 during the millennium, it says it will be as though a child has died. Oh, how sad. That guy died. He was only 100. Isn't that amazing? Longevity is going to increase during the millennium. Not you. You will only be with Christ, glorified. Those living in the millennium. So when Christ judges, he will do so with the rod of his mouth, the word. It's the word of God that judges. Always remember that. By the way, it's the word of God that judges us right now. Jesus said that he's going to judge, or he didn't say, the Bible tells us that when he does it, the word of God will, as a sword, will come out of his mouth. But scripture tells us, as Paul encouraged us, that if we judge ourselves, that is to judge ourselves in light of the word, we will not be judged. As believers, think about that. Every day of your life, you live before the reality of God's word. The word of God judges me constantly. Is it not judging you? Of course it judges you constantly. Isn't it beautiful? This is what you want. This is the, when it does that, when the word of God does that, the Holy Spirit does that, when this happens in our lives, that's how we walk our Christian life each day. Last night, Lisa and I went to the movies to see. Everybody was asking. I had no time to go see it. Finally, I saw it, so don't ask me. Have you seen War Room? Have you seen War Room? Yes, we saw it last night. And it was very, yeah, if you've not seen it, you got to go see it. Finally, Christians made a great movie. I'm sorry, but the acting is amazing. The writing's amazing. Finally. And it's powerful. It's powerful, but it's so sweet because I don't want to blow it for you, but I'll just, I'll just say the Bible's a big deal in the movie about how a person, how a Christian lives. And I love what I saw in the movie because that's what I used to do. And then on the way home, Lisa and I decided, that's it, we're gonna do that again. Now in the old days, I know it's hard for young people to imagine, but in the old days, I used to make photocopies of my Bible and then cut out the verses and then put it on my wall because it was always there and I could see it. And now it's in your mind, right? It affects your life. That's a good thing. So when I judge my life according to the Bible, that's always a good thing. If I do that, I'm going to be a lot better citizen and brother and pastor and friend to you. And the same on your end, because the word of God is the authority. And that movie last night was a great example of that being lived out. By the way, I think every man, men ought to get together and go see the movie. Amen. I mean that. You should do that. You should look at each other. Are you a man? Let's go. The third thing, verse 6 to 16, verse 6, follow with me. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. This is during the millennium. How cool is that going to be? The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. How wonderful. The cow and the bear shall graze, that is implying together. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. That's freaky, but I guess it's going to be fun then. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. That is, God's will be done. And the waters cover, as the waters cover the sea. Verse 10, in that day, there's that famous statement that we brought to you at the introduction of this book. In that day, there shall be, here you go, a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the peoples, for the Gentiles shall seek him. I've used that portion of that verse many times in witnessing to my Jewish friends. They'll tell me I have no right to talk about their prophets. And I say, nope, sorry, Isaiah 11:10 gives me the right, for the Gentiles shall seek him. Isn't that fun? And his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day, that's the latter days, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. You have been living in that generation. From Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros to Cush, from Elam to Shinar, from Hamath to the islands of the sea, the globe. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of who? What? Where? Israel. And gather together the dispersed from Judah from the four corners of the earth. Listen here. Verse 12, God says he's going to reassemble in the last days Israel. And he's going to bring them back together from the four corners of the earth. Are you sitting down? That is the definition of Zionist. Did you know that? Zionist. You know what a Zionist means? It means somebody who believes that Israel is going to come back to their homeland. That's a Zionist. Who is a Zionist? God is a Zionist. The God of the Bible is a Zionist. I'm a Zionist. You believe? Yes, I do. Why? Bible says so. And might I remind you, we're reading a 3,000-year-old document tonight, and God calls that country, that nation, Israel. And he goes on, and we'll wrap it up right here, verse 13. Also, the envy of Ephraim, that's Israel, that's another name for Israel in the north, shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim, but they shall fly down upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, that's Jordan, the country of Jordan today, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. Verse 15, the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind, he will shake his fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over on dry shod. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people. This is what's going to happen in the millennium. Who will be left from Assyria as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. God is not done with Israel. I know that's so, that's amazing. If I would have given this message tonight on the campus of Cal Poly or UC Irvine, there could have been a disruption or a riot. Because you're not allowed to say this stuff publicly on those school campuses. It's absolutely amazing. Listen, you choose tonight to obey the God of the Bible. As you look around the world, that's going crazy, you guys. It's a good time to seek the Lord. It's a good time to know him. If you don't know him tonight, you can put your trust in Jesus right now. The very Jesus of the Bible, the very root and the branch, the rod and the stem of Jesse, is none other than Jesus Christ. And he's coming back. I love the accuracy of God's word. If you want your sins forgiven, and if you want guilt washed from your mind, and if you want to have a new life, have you ever thought in your life, I wish I could start all over again? You can! Jesus is the door that makes that to happen. If you turn your life to him, you should do that tonight. Father, we thank you for your love, for your truth, for the power of your word. God, we praise you that what you have spoken, you shall fulfill. In fact, church, stand right now if you would. As I continue to pray, let's get ready to worship in closing. Father, we stand tonight. God, we give you our hearts. We look forward. We are reading, literally reading tonight from a 3,000-year-old document about our future. How great is that? Thank you, Lord, that every word that you've decreed according to your word shall be fulfilled. Nothing will fail. Your promises stand true. You alone are God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 4. Thanks for taking the time to join us today, and always remember that God loves you. He wants to rescue you from this world into eternal life in heaven with him. The Spirit of God at Work, Part 4. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, one way to worship the Lord is simply to spend time alone with him, a time set aside for both quiet reflection and to meditate on his word. That's why Pastor Jack has weekly devotions on his website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and also on the Real Life app when you download it for your mobile device. Pastor Jack's devotions begin with a specific verse, and then he adds a brief story or personal experience that relates to that verse. There are also previous weekly devotions that you can tap into on a daily basis if you'd like. Also, if you've been blessed by Pastor Jack's devotions, we've provided a place where you can email us or sign up for his devotional newsletter. And don't forget to download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app onto your mobile device and have a devotional time wherever you go. So once again, Devotions with Jack Hibbs, available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and on the Real Life app. It's now available for your smartphone or tablet. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.